Would you please bow your heads and pray with me? Gracious Lord, resurrected King, Savior of the world, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this Easter day, where we remember your resurrection, where we live into your resurrection, where we let your resurrection through the power of the Holy Spirit inspire us and make us anew. God, don't let us leave here without being changed. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us now in your word, that you would speak to us through your grace and the sacrament of Holy Communion that we will all celebrate shortly. And we pray that you would remind us of your presence always. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why do you look for the living among the dead? You know, each year on Easter, we read this or a parallel story from a different gospel about Jesus' resurrection. And we do that to remember the resurrection because we need to remember the story. And by remembering it, we allow God to make it real for us again or for the first time. See, it's all too easy for us to forget the basics of the story. For many of us, we just assume we know all there is to know about Jesus' resurrection and the Easter story because we've heard it so many times in our lives. Of course, there are those that haven't heard it at all as well. And that's okay because you can have the benefit of looking at the text, of looking at what it says with fresh eyes. For either situation, or maybe someone who's in a situation somewhere in between on this Easter morning, my prayer is that we would all look at the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ with new eyes today, with wherever we are in our lives and our walk with God. Maybe not trying to rationalize it, because that can be very hard to do. But maybe, just maybe, saying, Lord, I want to believe. Or, I believe with my unbelief. See, what is easy to forget about the story, really to overlook in the story, in Luke's depiction of the Easter morning, is that all we see is the proof of the resurrection. The proof of Jesus' rising from the dead is merely an empty tomb. There's no body. There's no sighting or experience of Jesus yet. He's not there at all, actually, in the text. He does not meet Mary in the garden like he does in John, and he does not appear to the disciples yet, though he will. But all we have in this text that we read today is a tomb, an empty tomb, a stone rolled back and linen cloths inside. And we have, of course, the experience of the faithful women and the angels, but we have no sign of the risen Jesus. And so it can be easy for us today who have accepted the belief in the resurrection to say that the resurrection should be accepted, that it happened. But then if it's so easy, why did the disciples not believe right away when the women came and told them? And why don't so many today believe? See, it can be easy to say that it happened, but in reality, it may be difficult to believe, especially with just an empty tomb and some stories. Especially without experiencing the risen Christ for ourselves, you see. Remember, there was no precedence for an actual person dying and coming back to life on his own, or even by the power of God, other than that of Lazarus and Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead, whom Jesus raised. But they weren't resurrected. They were merely resuscitated. They were just brought back to life only to die again one day. There's something different about Jesus' resurrection. Plus, I mean, how would Jesus raise himself from the dead if he was dead? It just doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense to the disciples. So when the women come back to the 11 disciples, why would anyone believe them if you put yourself in the text? Or anyone who tells a story like this. If you've ever lost someone that you love, you know for days, for weeks, for months, for years, you feel like they're just going to walk back through that door again. Like they aren't really gone. And so when the women come back from the gravesite to tell the disciples the story of what they experienced, you just feel for them, for the disciples. You feel for them. It's like their hearts are being pulled out again. It's like they're reliving his death and their desertion and their denial of him again. And it seems almost cruel if we look at it from that perspective. And it would be. It would be if the resurrection weren't true. But of course, we know what happens. We know what happens on this day. And we know that this is good news. The tomb is still empty, even to this day. Jesus did appear to his disciples. If you read ahead in the Gospel of Luke, read ahead and you find that he appeared to two men that afternoon while they were traveling on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to Peter individually that same day and then to the disciples in a room with locked doors. He just appears in front of them. All the while, the tomb was empty and remained empty. Jesus was alive again in new ways, acting and moving in ways that don't make logical sense. And yet there he was. And here he is today. Jesus is, as the Apostle Paul puts it, the first fruit of the resurrection. He was alive again, and everything had changed in his being risen from the dead. You see, in this act, this crux of all human history, death no longer ruled the day. The enemy no longer had total control. For on the cross, he had defeated the enemy, and Jesus was now fully in charge. He had defeated death and took upon our sins on him on the cross. He died for us as a perfect sacrifice for us and as evidence to the forgiving and the forgetting nature of God in the sacrificial act. He was raised on the third day to life and he appeared to the disciples. The tomb was empty. They had experienced the risen Christ for themselves. Yes, people still get sick. Yes, we will still die. There is still evil. There is still sadness and destruction and violence and hatred and anger and so on. But in the cross and in the resurrection, all of those things are put on notice. The cross and the resurrection reorient life. And they say, these things may still be present for the moment, but they are not the end. They are not forever. Jesus came, he lived, he died, and was resurrected so that all of creation, all who believe in him and put their trust in him, would not fear that which can afflict them in this world, in this life, because at the moment they believe, at the moment we believe, we are a new creation, justified before God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and in his resurrection, and the empty tomb is evidence of this. When we believe, when we put our trust in Christ, we die to ourselves and our own sin and are resurrected in Christ, given new life in Christ through the power of his resurrection. We become a new creation, the Apostle Paul says, at that very moment we believe. And so the resurrection is about new life, new birth. This is about the old ruler not being in charge anymore. Satan has been defeated on the cross, and the resurrection of Christ testifies to this. It's an understanding for us to realize today, too, the already and the death and the resurrection of Christ reorienting life in this way, and yet the still to come in Christ's return and setting the world to rights, redeeming the whole world in his second coming one day. But make no mistake, life is to be found in the resurrection for us here and now, because everything has changed in this event. Can you feel it? Can you feel the new life in this day? Can you feel it? The life that has come to us in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit among us and in us, through the power of Christ on the cross and the resurrection and in the empty tomb. Because he's not in the tomb anymore. He is risen. Our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our light that brightens the day is here, alive now, through the Holy Spirit, and his resurrection has changed everything for good. And the good news is you don't have to understand it. You aren't likely going to be able to rationalize it or even to make sense of it on some levels. But you can believe it, and you can trust in him and his love for you, and ask honestly for help with any unbelief you might have, because he is calling graciously for you to trust and to believe in him, to be in relationship with him. Maybe, again, having fallen away, let it go, or whatever reason. Or maybe for the first time. And that's all he wants. That's all he asks. He just wants you to experience him, to know him, the risen Christ for yourself, like the women at the tomb, like the disciples in the room, and like Peter. Jesus wants each of us, all of us, to share in the joy of the empty tomb. It's a present that he has prepared for you. For you, and for you, and for you, and for all of us. For all of us who would receive it. Receiving it as the gift of forgiveness and life that the cross and the resurrection are meant to be. Will you today, with new eyes, look at the empty tomb and see that it is empty, that Christ is risen, that he is risen indeed. Amen.